I'm just a nobody. I'm trying to tell everybody. Abiding with Jesus. Now the word abide has several different meanings, but what the gist of the word's meaning is, stay with me. Remain in me. Last week we learned about the vine, and we learned about the branches, and we learned about the true branches and the false branches. And we learned all about that last week. So this morning I want to be an encouragement to you that if you are a true branch, then you are abiding in Christ and He's abiding in you. John chapter 15, abiding in Christ. I want to give you six advantages of abiding with Christ. Six advantages of abiding with Christ. John chapter number 15 this morning. Six advantages to abiding with Christ. Living in Him. Remaining in Him. Him remaining in you. Here's what He says in John chapter 15 verse number 1. Jesus identifies Himself. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. It says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Abiding in Christ. Six advantages of abiding in Christ. Number one is salvation. Salvation. The number one reason, another one advantage of abiding in Christ is salvation. Chapter 15, verse number 4 says, abide in me and I in you. If Jesus Christ is your Savior and He is inside of you through the Holy Spirit, you will never leave Him and He will never leave you. If the Holy Spirit abides in you, you can't get rid of Him. Salvation. Now there's a lot of people who teach that you can overstep the line and you can go past the part where you're abiding in Christ anymore. In other words, He leaves you. When do you get to that point in your life where you lose salvation? When do you get that point in life where you finally overstep the boundary and the Holy Spirit leaves you? I'm glad that we never reach that point. So you're telling me, Brother Brian, that I can do what I want to do and live like I want to live, and I can get away with whatever I want. As long as God forgives me, then I can do what I want to do. No, if you are living in Christ and He's living in you, your life will be different than it used to be before you trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior. If you abide in Him, He abides in you. But here's the true fact. If you abide in Christ, you have eternal security. Eternal salvation. Nothing can take that away from you. Matter of fact, Paul writes about this in the book of Colossians. Turn with me if you would there. Hold your finger right here in chapter 15, but go to Colossians chapter number 1. Paul writes about this. Colossians chapter number 1, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 22. Here's what Paul says about this. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 22. In the body of His flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, talking about Jesus presenting us to God, if you continue in the faith and grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which is preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. See, here's what he says. If you continue in this faith, if you continue in trusting him, you are grounded and you are settled. There's a lot of people who deal with losing their salvation, and they're afraid that they finally overstep the line and they lose their salvation. Brothers and sisters, be grounded and be faithful in this true statement. When you trust Jesus Christ your Savior, you never lose salvation. Be grounded in that. In previous churches where I've preached, there's always been two or three people who have always dealt with it. On a Sunday morning, they'll come forward and they'll say, "Oh, I'm not sure if I'm saved." And I said, "Okay, have you done what the Bible says for you to do? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you asked Him to forgive you? Have you claimed that promise?" They say, "Oh, yes, I've done that." Well, that's all you need to do. Your salvation is not based upon your actions. Your salvation is based upon what Jesus Christ has done for you. Have you received Him as your Savior? Brothers and sisters, abide in that truth. Hang on to that truth. When the winds of doubt and the winds of fear come upon you, abide in the fact that you have grounded your soul in Jesus Christ. Salvation. Let me ask you a question. How many of you can be honest this morning and say, "Brother Brian, there's been times that I've doubted my salvation"? "Oh, I've never doubted my salvation." Well, praise God for that. But you know what? There's times in life when things really get tough and hard. And you really wonder, "God, am I really saved?" Abide in this. Trust in this. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life from the mouth of babes. If He can believe it, why can't you? Abide in that. Salvation is one benefit of abiding in Christ. Go back to John 15. Let's look at the second thing. Abiding in Christ. What does that provide for us? Abiding in Christ. Here in verse number 4, it says this. "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me." The second thing is fruitfulness. We talked extensively about that last week. But when you abide in Christ, you are fruitful. You're a bunch of fruits. Amen? How many fruits we got out there this morning? I don't know about that. We're not in California. I'm not talking about that kind of fruit, okay? Fruitfulness for the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? Fruitfulness will be what? Thankful praise. Some of you shared your fruit this morning. Brother Dave shared his fruit this morning. Brother Scott shared his fruit this morning. Fruit is thankful praise. We've all got something to be thankful for this morning. If you are breathing this morning, you got something to be thankful for. If you're not in jail, how many of you are glad you're not in jail this morning? Say amen. How many of you deserve to be in jail? A couple of you. That's thankfulness. Being thankful. I'm thankful for that little precious life right there. That doesn't bother me whatsoever. Thankful for the gift of life through children. Praise God for that. Thankfulness. Look at the second fruit that we have. Helping others. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7. Let me read that to you. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7. Here's what Paul says. Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse number 7 says this, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." And then he says in verse number 17, he says, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Doing something for others is fruitfulness. Now don't raise your hand, but let me ask you a question. How many of you did something for somebody else this week? How many of you served Jesus in some capacity? How many of you helped somebody in a situation that nothing else? Guess what? You are bearing fruit because you're abiding in the vine. Whatever you do that brings honor to God, you're abiding in the vine and you're bearing fruit for Him. All right? The third thing that comes with fruitfulness here is godly living. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 10. Godly living. I believe that when somebody trusts Jesus Christ, their Savior, their life ought to be an example of Him. Let me say that again. Some of you aren't paying attention this morning. I believe that when someone trusts Jesus Christ, their life ought to be an example of Jesus Christ. Godly living. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 10. Here's what it says. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, recently, matter of fact, this week, we've had several pro football players and some college football players that have gotten in trouble because of things they did while they were representing their university or their team. And they made a comment or they took a picture or they did something. And when the media got a hold of it, they said, oh, that represents the whole team when you did that. And it brought shame upon the player. And some of them got released and kicked off the team because of what they did, because they represent their team. Brothers and sisters, when you belong to Jesus Christ, you represent Jesus Christ everywhere you go. And I believe as a Christian, what we say, what we do, what we put on Facebook, what we tweet out, emails that we send, it ought to represent Jesus Christ because He's my Savior. And when I abide in Him, the fruit that I produce represents Jesus, represents the world. Let me ask you, what kind of Christian conduct have you had this week? When the world is looking at your life, what kind of fruit do they see? Rotten, nasty fruit that isn't even worth consuming? What about the dry, shriveled up fruit that was good years ago, but it's not useful anymore? I think that as a Christian, the fruit that we produce ought to be thriving and used for the glory of God. Amen? So when you abide in Him, you produce godly fruit. Now you're saying, Brother Brian, does that mean that I'm perfect at all times? Does that mean that I never make a mistake? Absolutely not. I don't know of a single person in this room that hasn't made a mistake. Some of them made several mistakes this week. Matter of fact, last night, I made several mistakes. We were getting beat. Now, Jacob and Lindsay are back there. They're witnesses to me. I didn't cuss one single time. I thought about it, but I didn't do it. No, I'm just teasing. I didn't think about cussing. I was upset. But here's the thing. God's not looking for perfection, but He wants us to be godly and bear godly fruit because we belong to Him. Amen? All right, number three, the third advantage of abiding with Christ. We see number one, we see that we have salvation. Number two, we see fruitfulness. Number three, it says answered prayer. First, our John chapter 15, verse number 7 says this: if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Jesus says, listen, if you pray and you ask me, I will give you what you ask. There it is, Brother Brian. I've been waiting for this one. Man, I want this, and I want a Mercedes-Benz, and I want a $1 million home, and I want a bank account that never ends, and I want this, and I want that, and I want this. But here's the caveat. Jesus said, ask what you will, but my words must abide in you, and I'll give you what you ask. Would Jesus ask for a Mercedes-Benz? Would Jesus ask for a Learjet? Would Jesus ask for a $1 million home? See, He could have had whatever He wanted. You know what He's asking for? And what we ought to ask for is to bear fruit for Him. Let me show you something. Go to Psalm 37 with me real quick. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Genesis, Exodus, Psalms. Psalm 37. Come on, open your Bibles up. Look with me if you would. There's Bibles in front of the pew in front of you. I want you to see what God's Word says. Abide in me, he says. My words abide in you. And this is his word right here. Psalm 37. Here's a promise that God makes. Psalm 37, verse number 4. He says, delight yourself, delight thyself also in the Lord. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. It's a process. You delight yourself in the things of God, and then God will give you what you need to have that brings him honor and glory. Well, Brother Brian, I want a lake house. I want millions of dollars. I want all of these things that I can have so that I can really enjoy my life. Well, here's the problem. Some of us, if we had a lake house, we'd be there every weekend. We wouldn't be doing anything for the Lord. If we had millions of dollars, we'd be worried about keeping those millions of dollars instead of serving the Lord like we ought to. You say, Brother Brian, I wouldn't do that. I'd like to find out what it's like. No. God knows what you need, and he gives you what you need based upon what he knows you're going to do with it. A lot of times, we get what we want, but what we want takes us away from what he wants for us. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you what your heart delights in. Let me ask you a question this morning. What does your heart delight in today? It's the month of Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? What does your heart delight in? Well, Brother Brian, my heart delights in the big meal I'm going to have at Thanksgiving. Brother Brian, my heart delights in joy and peace and strength. He'll give you the delight of your heart if you'll put him first. That's a promise that he gives to us. All right, so we see number one, salvation. Number two, fruitfulness. Number three, answered prayer. Here's the fourth thing. Go back to John chapter 15. The fourth thing, he promises to give us abundant life. Abundant life. Here in John chapter 15, verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. That you bear much fruit. God wants you to have fruit. He wants it to be abundant. I remember, and I've told you this illustration before, but it's so true even this morning. My grandfather, when I was little, and he lived in West Texas, and I remember distinctly waking up in the mornings and hearing a cup being stirred. He'd pour a coffee cup, and he'd always fill it to the brim with coffee. And he'd stir it and stir it and stir it and stir it, and then he'd put his cream and his sugar, and he'd stir it and stir it, and it would always lap over into the saucer. And then he'd put more coffee in there and stir it and stir it and stir it, and it would lap over into the saucer. Now, he wouldn't drink from the cup. He'd instead set the cup aside and he'd drink from the saucer. And I asked him, why'd you do that? He says, well, two reasons. Number one, it cooled off the coffee. But number two, he says, that's just the abundance of the blessing of coffee. Brothers and sisters, when you're abiding in Jesus Christ, you get to drink from the saucer of abundance. I think a lot of times of why we suffer and why we struggle life financially, why we struggle emotionally, why we struggle in our families and situations, is because we're not abiding in Christ and the resources are there. We decide we're going to do what we're going to do and we're not going to trust the Lord anymore. We decide, I know what's better and I know what's best, and God, I'll get to you when I need you. And next time I'm struggling, then I'll talk to you. And God says, okay. Brothers and sisters, you're intended to have abundant life. You're intended to be abundantly fruitful in life. But look at me for a moment, please. Don't raise your hand, but answer this question inside of you. Do you have that abundant life that God's promised you this morning? Or are you struggling? Are there some issues of life? See, Brother Brian, I want that abundant life. Then abide in Christ. Remain in His Word. Remain in Him. Salvation. fruitfulness, answered prayer. Number four, abundant life. Number five, full of joy. Full of joy. Chapter 15, verse number 11, it says this: "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." God wants you to have joy. God wants you to have pleasure. God wants you to enjoy being a Christian. There's too many Christians walking around this world look like they're cheerleaders at a funeral. You say, "I've never seen a cheerleader at a funeral. All I see is somber faces." Well, that's somehow Christians, that's how they walk around this earth. They come in those back doors on a Sunday morning and, "How are you doing?" "I'm fine." Now, I can understand being sad at times. You can't smile all the time. And I realize and understand that. But guess what? If Jesus is inside of you, He's going to come out of you somehow, some way. You don't have to walk around like you've been sucking on lemons. You can enjoy. You can laugh. You can enjoy what God has given to you. That's part of the fruit. Joy. See, you say, "Brother Brian, how is it possible to be joyful when you've just lost a job, or you've just lost a loved one, or you've just, and you name it off? How can you be joyful?" Let me give you one way I can be joyful. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have more over there than you have here? Your joy is not based upon what you physically have. Your joy is based upon who you have. And if you abide in Him and He abides in you, your joy might be full. Talking to Jarrett yesterday, and he says that Grayson is sleeping better now. Praise the Lord for that. But you know that when you first have children, it seems like every 2 hours they're awake. And you get up stumpily out of bed and everything else, and you're trying to help them and do this and everything else. And you're thinking, will this ever end? Will this ever get any better? I can assure you, brother, it's going to get better. They'll want to sleep. Matter of fact, they'll want to sleep till noon. You got to get them out of bed eventually. They will sleep. Brothers and sisters, you can have joy in knowing this. This is the only hell you'll ever experience as a Christian. We got something better waiting for us in the presence of God for eternity. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, listen to this. This is the only heaven that you'll ever experience. Place your faith in Jesus. Abide in Him. And He'll abide in you. Five things so far. Number one, salvation. Number two, fruitfulness. Number three, answered prayer. Number four, abundant life. Number five, full of joy. And the last one, security. When you belong to Jesus and He belongs to you, you have security. Go to John chapter 6 with me. John chapter number 6. Jesus talks of this. You have security. John chapter 6, verse number 37. You have security. John chapter 6, verse number 37. Here's what Jesus says. "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and in him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." You have security. ADT and CSI and CPI and TMI and all that kind of stuff. They sell these security systems with the doorbell now that shows everything that's going on. And they say, "Hey, you can have security. At any time of day or night, you have security. And guess what? If something happens, we'll be right there." Right. You can't trust that. Because guess what? What happens if the police department is occupied? What happens if the electricity goes off? What happens if they cover up that Ring doorbell and they can't see the camera no more? What? There is no security in man-made things because they fail. But brothers and sisters, let me help you out with something. When you abide in Christ, He says, I will never cast you out. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. There's some people in this room who have separation issues. There's some people in this room who feel abandoned. There's some people in this room who feel like nobody cares about them, that perhaps God has forgotten about them. Let me assure you, when you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, you have eternal security. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Salvation, fruitfulness, answered prayer, security. Brothers and sisters, do you abide in Christ? Because if you do, He abides in you. Never leave you, never forsake you. So let's go out today being fruity. Be fruity. Abide in Christ. Amen. Let's all stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Being fruitful, abiding in Christ, and He in you. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. I don't know what issues of life are going on with you today. I don't know where you're struggling or where you're hurt, but God does, and He loves you, and He's here for you this morning. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to consider this question. Are you abiding in Christ? Are you remaining in Him? Are you trusting in Him? He says, I abide in you, you abide in me. Maybe this morning say, Brother Brian, I don't know what that means. I can't place my finger on abiding in Christ. I feel adrift. I feel like maybe I don't have that relationship. Well, today you can. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, today's the day. You're not here by accident. Abide in Him today. He'll never leave or forsake you. Maybe as a child of God, you're struggling. Maybe one of these areas that He's abiding in you. Maybe this morning, you're not so sure. He knows, and He cares. And He says, my child, abide in me, because I'm abiding in you. Heavenly Father, you know what the struggles we have every single day. God, you don't ask us for perfection. You've already provided that for us. You ask us instead to abide in you. And so today, I want us as your children to abide in you as you abide in us. We love you and we thank you. But oh God, help us to trust in you. I know, God, that there's some brothers and sisters in this room that are abiding in you, but they're struggling. May today be the day they confess it and make it right with you. God, I realize and understand that there may be some souls in this room that have never trusted Jesus as their Savior. I pray today would be that day. They come forward and trust you as their Savior. You're the only hope we have, God. May we abide in you. In Christ's name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Danny's going to sing. I'll meet you here if you want me to pray. I'll pray with you and I'm here for you. But trust God today.